Hi, this is Thomas with Believe in the Run.
This is Robbie with Believe in the Run.
And you're listening to The Drop, our podcast where we interview David Kilgore.
Yeah, today anyways. This is our guest episode of the podcast. Do we have a name for it? I was like, The Drop In. Is that like...
I like that.
I think you came up with that.
Sounds like it.
Not The Drop Out. You don't want people doing that.
Yeah. We'll workshop that. Let's put a pin in that.
All right.
And workshop it.
Circle back.
Yeah, circle back. All what other cliches can we use?
So today we have, David Kilgore, who is an On athlete, and he works for On.
He's a Red Bull athlete.
I mean, is there anything cooler than being a Red Bull athlete?
I don't think so, because the second he tells you that, I picture him launching himself in like a little tiny rocket or something.
Yeah, it's like somebody saying they're a pilot for the Blue Angels. You're not getting cooler than that.
No, you can't. Maybe, and even the Thunderbirds know that they're not quite as cool as the Blue Angels.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, the Thunderbirds are cool.
Yeah.
Oh, Blue Angels.
Yeah, so he's that, and he has a lot of cool running adventures and stories that we're going to get into. So yeah, enjoy this episode.
Yeah, he's so chill. I like it. All right, so we're here with David Kilgore, a very accomplished runner. Robbie had to go to the bathroom, so he's missing the first part of this tour, but he'll be right back in. David, welcome to the show, minus Robbie.
Yo, thanks so much for having me on, and I can't wait to welcome Robbie back.
Yeah, so you're not from the United States originally, right?
Well, kind of. I was born on an Air Force base in Lakenheath, United Kingdom, yeah.
So you're a U.S. citizen. That's considered U.S. citizen, right?
Yeah,
man. We start without you, Robbie. But yeah, so you were born on an Air Force base. So he's a natural U.S. citizen. That's considered U.S. territory when you're on a base, right?
Yeah, dude. So U.S. territory when I'm on a base. So I actually could have I never applied for it, which I probably should, I guess. But I can have dual citizenship in the U.K. as well.
Would that help you get into the London Marathon easier?
Dude, probably. I need to as well. I need to check that one off the list. So yeah, that's next on the objective.
Yeah, it's weird that you could, and for people who don't know, David Kilgore is kind of like one of those extreme runners. You just finished, It was last summer or last fall?
No, it was like,
It was late January. Yeah, beginning of February.
That was this year?
Yeah, dude.
Mm-hmm. Jeez, man. So earlier this year, and we followed along because it's a pretty, interesting journey. We've had Mike Wardian on, who's also completed it. Actually, Ryan Hall too. So we've had, you're our third, I think, if I'm missing someone, where you do 7 marathons on 7 continents in 7 days. And it's also known as like a week.
Yeah. Yeah, man. That, what a journey. Seriously, that was, I feel like it was adult marathoning in airplane camp. It was great.
Yeah. Good vibes, and even though you did 7 of those, none of them were the London Marathon.
Exactly. So
you still got to check that bucket.
Got to go back to my hometown,
Yeah. So when we're talking about the 7 continents, I guess what I always wondered is the hardest part the running or the travel?
Dude, I honestly think, it's kind of a mixture of both, I guess. I mean, that's probably not the coolest answer, but I feel like the running is definitely a very challenging part of it, but I think the breaks in between make it more challenging. And then of course, just like sleeping on an airplane for a week straight is not the most advantageous all the time.
So it's not very posh. It's not like you finish with the marathon, you get a massage rub down, all the recovery tools. You're basically just traveling, right?
Pretty much, man. Yeah. I mean, and luckily, depending on how quickly you're finishing the marathon, but each place we were probably, there was different stipulations in different countries. I think when we were in Australia, that's why we stayed there longer. Rumors through the grapevine was saying that I think you technically have to be in Australia if you fly there for at least 12 hours. So we were there one of the longest out of all the continents.
Yeah. They got to make that money.
They're like, you have to enjoy it here.
I guess it was a former penal colony. So I guess they're kind of imprisoning you for, maybe that's like part of the tradition of the place.
Right, part of the heritage,
Yeah. So you start in Antarctica because we've heard that that's the one that's the most iffy when it comes to weather.
Yeah, definitely, man. So we kicked it off there. And I mean, even this year, I'm sure the weather is so so insane there, or like it changes so quickly. We definitely experienced that. But for example, this year they're like, hey, this year might be the best weather ever. You can wear like a t-shirt, shorts, all this stuff. It's going to be like glorious, you know? Whoa. And so that was supposed to be the following day. And we had our meeting briefing that night before we kicked it off the next day. And then we get like a red alert. They're like, everybody has to board the plane in like the next like 3 hours. There's supposed to be a crazy storm coming through now. So all of us were still kind of leery. We're like, we don't know about this. So we all dressed like, I feel like a proper like Northeastern United States type of day. And for the wintertime, and we all get off the plane and we're all dressed in our gear. And we're like, this is like hella cold right now.
Oh, wow.
Like very, very cold.
See, that would have messed with my head, you know, because everybody, even if you're like whatever race you're doing, you're looking out a week early, you're looking 10 days out, the weather is changing, the rain, the wind, all that stuff. But you kind of get your head ready for what you think you're going to have. And if I was thinking I might be able to run in shorts and a t-shirt in Antarctica, and then next thing I know, I need a full bodysuit and goggles, that's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, dude, it was definitely like a mental game, because I mean, it was actually, I think it was hilarious kind of at the time, but I don't think any of us wanted to go outside. We went to these like portables, like 200 meters away that we were like stationed in, and they're like, hey, the weather's getting a little bad right now. We're going to wait till it passes. I think there'll be like a little like gap to just start it off at least. And every like 30 minutes for basically like 2 hours, they kept popping back in and being like, hey, we're still waiting. It's getting a little bit worse. And there's like these little windows that we could like look out of that are like freezing over. And then it basically came to the point where about like 2 hours in, they're like, hey, oh my, the weather's getting so horrible outside. We now only have like an 8 hour gap. We can only be here 8 more hours. If we don't get off the continent, we're going to be stuck here for like 3 days. Everybody has to get outside. So we're just like, Jesus Christ, this is going to be horrible. But I remember one guy going to the bathroom, because each portable was kind of like, there was like housing portables, then there was like a bathroom portable, and there was like a kind of like a mess hall like portable where you could like eat and drink coffee and all that stuff. And one guy left and went probably like 100 feet to the bathroom, came back, and he just looked disheveled. Oh, he's like frozen, and like he was like, I just went to the bathroom. He is like, it is so bad outside. And everybody's like, oh my God, this is so bad.
How many people were running it with you this year?
So I think there was around 47 or 48 participants, about 70 people total with like staff and all that.
That's bigger than most trail races.
Yeah. And is it ranging in ability as well?
Yeah, definitely, man. It was a cool, like, eclectic of people. I feel like, just like varying. Some people were there, like I would say, like some companies like were sponsoring them, like racing. Other people were there that I feel like just like kind of, because it is like quite a sharp bill to go do this event.
Oh yeah.
They just kind of like hit some like random moment in their life where they like struck a nice little bonus, and then other people just, I guess, had like really high paying like jobs or lives, and so it was like a cool eclectic of people, but everyone was super rad.
Yeah. So you went with a sponsor, right?
Yeah. So I went with a sponsor.
Was it with On, or which sponsor?
Yeah, so I was with On and Red Bull.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So did you have to do any like stunts since you're with Red Bull, like, or is just running good enough?
Is that the stunt?
Dude, yeah. So after the finish of each thing, I had to, in Antarctica, had to get on a dirt bike, go off a ramp, jump.
Jump a shark?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome. So, I mean, I'm guessing you're not going to be, there's no time to like enjoy the fact that you just finished a marathon. In that case, you're just getting on to the next one. Pretty simple stuff. Like once there
for a little bit, man. I mean, I feel like I had I was lucky enough and had the pleasure just cause I got to finish a little bit early. So I'd always have pretty much a handful of hours, probably like 3 to 4 hours in each place afterwards to kind of like cruise around. So it was kind of nice. Like, I mean, in Antarctica, I just like beelined it back to get inside.
What was the temperature? And then what was it like also running? Cause I think a lot of people imagine you're running through snowdrifts or something. So like, what is the experience of running in Antarctica
conditions?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure, man. We kind of were running through like some snowdrifts. Basically, when we were there, yeah, the weather got progressively worse. So we were supposed to do laps around the runway where the planes usually land. It's a Russian base that people are stationed at. So there's people stationed there. But the weather got, it basically was a whiteout. So we had to like stay up against these like these flags that help people land the planes could tell where we were. But basically you could run on the snow. It wasn't too slick. But as the wind was like blowing, cause it was blowing about like 40 or 45 miles per hour. And it was about like negative, I think like 28, or so outside. So yeah, wait,
you're running into the wind at 45 mile per hour wind.
So luckily actually, we started, so we went out and back, I think, I can't remember now, 13 or 14 times. But we started going with the wind. And that was like a nice like little pick me up. So even when we started, I think I was like starting at like 6:30 pace or something, or at least that's when I watched it. I was like, wow, this actually might not be too bad. And then as soon as I turned around, I was like, oh my God, this is gonna be bad. But it was actually really beautiful, man. I mean, it was kind of to be completely honest, it was a little bit miserable of a run. But I would say like throughout it, probably like four or five times, I was just like looking around. I was like, damn, this is like unbelievable, completely unreal, like that I'm here right now with all these people. And the ice that was like the snow was blowing. The wind was blowing so hard that the snow was getting like pushed over too. So we were like slowly kind of like making our way like a little bit away from the flags. But it was exposing what the continent is, just like a sheet of ice basically. Yeah. And it was like the clearest, like most beautiful blue I've ever seen. But it's just like completely untouched. And that's what it looked like. I was like, wow, this is cool.
Did you reach out to any of the other athletes that have participated running and done it, like Mike, who went for the wins when he did it? Did you reach out to anybody for advice or any kind of like mentorship, or did you just say, screw it, I can run?
Yeah, man, I actually got to, I've known Mike since 2017 or 2018. So I talked with him a bit about it, like leading up into it. So it was definitely helpful, just kind of like gauging the experience a bit and kind of like learning his tidbits from it. But for the most part, I feel like what it was just like, I feel like it's an event that you kind of have to definitely take care of yourself, but also go with the flow quite a bit, because just the whole schedule and like regulations of it all, it's like nobody can control. So you're just kind of like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to stay here an extra hour. Oh shoot, we have to like get on the plane immediately to go over here now. We got to wake up 2 hours earlier, you know? So it's just kind of part of the adventure. I feel like you just kind of have to be like, you know what, this is what we're rolling with. Like, let's get after it.
Now, when you, decided to do it, did you have any intentions of challenging Mike Gordian's record for the time goal for average time for marathon?
For sure, man. Yeah. That was definitely the overall goal kind of like going into it. I wanted to give Mike a good run at it. Or give myself a good run at Mike's record. And I think after Antarctica, I mean, I was still definitely trying to push for it, but it definitely like sunk me a little bit just with how like treacherous the conditions were out there. Yeah. And then the following day, we had a big delay in Cape Town, which basically like offset a lot of the schedule. And so some of the really like hot places we ended up having to run in the middle of the day. So I think after the second one, I was kind of like, at least in my head, I was like, I'm still going to give this a good huck, but you know, we'll see what happens.
So with like, I would assume Antarctica is the worst conditions.
Yeah.
But you're talking about warm and hot. Was there another one that just sucked?
Dude, I think Antarctica definitely was like, definitely the worst. But I don't know why the second one, and maybe it was because I just came from Antarctica, but was in Cape Town. And it wasn't even as hot as the one we did in Australia, because that was almost like 100 degrees outside when we ran it. But I think it was like 86. And maybe it was just like, I think there's like a higher like UV like situation there. Mm-hmm. But everyone just got like burnt to a crisp. And I was just like fried. I felt like horrible during that one. And I was like, oh my God, this is like number one and two. Hit me with the 1-2 punch. I was like, I'm down for the count maybe.
So no comrades for you?
Dude, I mean, maybe. I would love to go back and just like, because because we got to actually be in Cape Town a little bit. That's where we originally landed and flew out of. And I got to spend some time like running around the area and like Table Mountain. And that whole area was, I mean, so sick, man. So I would definitely go back and do it. But I totally know there's definitely certain things. And I think part of it was I wasn't taking care of myself during that one as much. I was banking on like the race because the other places we did like a ton of out and back. So I was able to get water quite frequently. And there, I think there was only 4 water stops and I was like roasting, just like trying to like sip. And I was like, man, I should have just like really carried a bottle or something, you know?
Yeah. You meant carry a case of Red Bull with you.
Yeah, exactly.
I got you.
I've been hyped the whole time. Dude, my guy, keep me honest.
Yeah.
Do you ever drink Red Bull for real, like before a race or anything that you're going out and doing?
Dude, yeah, for sure, man. I mean, I definitely, I feel like I don't ever like slug one, but I feel like I'll either drink like probably like half a can, and kind of the same thing. I think usually for like the long hauls, if I'm doing like 50K plus, I'll drink like half a can or like a can if I'm at like an aid station for a little bit longer. But so, yeah, it's
that
nice.
I get. Because like a flat Coke is one of the ones that I like on like a long trail run or something like that. So I could see that. But I mean, most of the time when I've had Red Bull, it's been mixed with vodka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel you. I always do five hour energies before races. And
do you really?
I do five hour energies before anything.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. So I figure, hey, worst case scenario is that it helps a little bit. But I don't know.
I don't know if there's vitamin B12 in Red Bull.
Well, it has taurine, so okay. Which I still don't know what taurine does, but it sounds awesome.
Dude, yeah. It does it all. Yeah, I'm not sure what Torin does either. But but yeah, man, dude, a vodka Red Bull too halfway through a race isn't bad as well. It gets you going. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I've done beer miles and I've done like, we did a whiskey mile. Mm-hmm. And you don't, it's so much easier to do a whiskey mile until you stop running.
Yeah. Oh, I bet.
Because then it just goes right up to the brainstem. But while you're running, it's fine.
Are you a beer mile guy?
Dude, I am not a beer mile guy. I actually have never done a beer mile.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. I don't drink. If I'm drinking, I usually drink like whiskey, like rum, or like mixed drinks. Gotcha. And I hardly ever drink beer. But I need to do it. Just I feel like if I need like a solid hour though, I think to get it done. So if some people have some time and want to hang out with me for an hour and do a beer mile, then come through.
Right.
The tough part isn't the drinking, it's keeping the foam down.
For sure.
Yeah, I can't imagine. You must feel like so like just like heavy, right?
You're bloaty.
It's not a good feeling.
Yeah.
But so you finish up that and then you go straight into another event right after. What was the one that you did right after the 7?
Dude, I went over to New Zealand in Tarawera.
That's right. Yeah. And that though, I feel like you ran into a little bit of a hiccup there.
Actually, not too much, man. I mean, it was a solid time. Oh, I mean, after the race, we did a hurricane came through or a cyclone.
Yeah, it sounds pretty. Like it sounds like you're bringing the bad weather.
Dude, seriously? Yeah, I was like, yeah. Wherever I'm going next, nobody follow. But yeah,
dude, I mean, you're basically on the other side of the world and in the lower hemisphere. Like, I'm guessing you don't have a lot of friends or family in the States anymore.
Dude, I know they all left me now. No, I'm just playing, man. But yeah, it was great, man. I mean, I was over there with the on trail team. So it was a fun, like little time, out in New Zealand. The trails are like by far, like just like, so epic. Really beautiful. And yeah, we had great weather on the day. And then afterwards, yeah, we got a little cyclone action, which is kind of fun. I don't think too much damage was caused, but at least in the area we were just kind of like holding it down, just like hanging out all together. So yeah, good vibes all around.
So is a cyclone just a lot of wind and rain? Is it basically a hurricane, or what's the difference between a hurricane and a cyclone?
I think it has...
like in effect,
isn't it? Southern hemisphere is a cyclone and northern hemisphere is what a hurricane.
It is? Dude, it is. Which I didn't know that until I was there in one.
What is a cyclone?
I'm pretty sure you've told me that before.
I think I may have.
Now that I think about it,
and I believe it spins the other direction down there, right?
Dude, guaranteed, yeah.
Is that like the toilet bowl?
That's thing? What I'm yeah. alluding okay. to, yeah. but I don't yeah. think that's true.
But yeah, man, I don't want to throw shade at the Cyclone or anyone that like got affected by it, but we were all kind of surprised because everyone was like on the news. We were kind of like in the area too, where it was like very like catastrophic, uh-huh. and they're like, this is the worst weather New Zealand's ever had. This is like the worst cyclone in history, and we're like, dude, you guys have some pretty nice weather. If this yeah. is the worst.
Were you like, you should check out where I'm from,
yeah.
Florida?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, this is great. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, and where are you at, or from in Florida? Where are you from originally?
Dude, I'm from a place called it's in Brevard County, but Palm Bay, Florida. It's about okay. like 2 hours north of Miami. It's on the East Coast.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pompeii is is that oh, that's still above Fort Lauderdale though, a little bit.
Yeah, it's about 90 minutes north of Fort Lauderdale. Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's
see, and that's the thing. I don't understand.
I always get that mixed up with Pompano Beach, so sure.
Makes yeah. sense.
Yeah.
The crazy thing is, though, all these good runners coming out of Florida, and you're like, it's probably like, if I lived in Florida, I probably wouldn't run just because, like, that's just some shitty running. Like, it's hot, it's humid, they got flies that land on you. Like, every time I'm there, I'm like, this is the worst, except for like January.
Dude, I mean, yeah, that's fair. Like, I mean, I grew up there, so I didn't know anything else, and I grew to love it. So it's definitely a special spot in my heart. But dude, yeah, it is some like gnarly running. I remember there was like a Runner's World article or something like that came out when I was in high school, and me and my friends were like reading it and like laughing about it, because it was like, if it's above like 78 degrees, like you should take the day off from running or something. And we're like, dude, we would never run. Like, you know, like this is yeah. like pretty funny.
So what's harder, altitude and like Flagstaff or Florida swamp running?
Dude, yeah, it's totally different. I mean, I think the altitude is definitely worse. I still fare. I've pretty good at altitude just from like not really living there that much. But yeah, I think it's probably just from like growing up there too. Like, I get in the swing of things, but I've taken a few people who from Colorado and stuff like that before when I was out in school, came to visit like my hometown, and we ran like later in the day and just like in the heat and humidity, and they just got like, and they were like top of the NCAA at the time type of guys, and just got like completely like destroyed. So I feel like it's, you know, just all preference based, you know?
Did you drag them? Were you like,
yeah, just yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. I was like, you're not dragging me today. I was like, here's my chance.
Yeah. Well, Thomas and I both have in-laws that live on Amelia Island, so up in Upper Florida.
Yeah.
And for real, one of the worst moments of my running life was they have a little trail section on the island.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those like July days when it was like 90 degrees from the start. And I'm out running on the trails there, and I had to had a bathroom emergency, and there was no choice, but it was happening on the, and so I'm there like in that thick brush, and it was just like horse flies biting me, and there's or mosquitoes biting me like nonstop, and I was just wow. like, this is the worst, like covered and drenched in sweat,
and I don't know, like, if we
this told, is the worst.
I don't know if we told David at the beginning of the show, we are required by our sponsors to at least include one bathroom story.
Yeah, it's
yeah. a podcast,
so feel free to
yeah, throw in yours
whenever you'd like.
I love it, man.
He already did the Antarctica.
That one. Is true. Yeah. We got two in this one.
That's true. Yeah. Double it down. Right. Dude, yeah, that's I good. Remember kind of on that story as well. Not as much in the bathroom, but on the bug situation. There's the most southernmost trail in the continent of the US is down in the Everglades. It's called the Coastal Prairie Trail. It's actually a really rad trail. Mm-hmm. It gets like flooded out sometimes, but goes to the Everglades, like super sick, beautiful. But if you go down there, basically not in January or February, it's like infested with, mosquitoes and bugs and all you could imagine. So we go down there not thinking about it, but one of my other buddies like invited me to go on the run in January. He's like, you should come out here. I have like a group. I just like couldn't make it that day. And I was like, dude, I'll do it some other time. It sounds sick though. It was a day, I think in like May or June, like in the summertime. So I was like with my girlfriend, Molly. I was like, let's go do this trail. It looks like really sick that my buddy showed me like a few months back. So we go out there, and dude, it looks like the apocalypse. There's like overgrown like bushes and trees that were like trying to get through. We make it to the trailhead and there's like bugs like hitting the window of the car. and Molly's like, yo, like we should put on, she's like, I'm putting on a bunch of like bug spray, like all this stuff. I was like, actually, it's probably not that bad. I was like, I've been in Florida like my whole life. Like
you have immunity to it.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, so dumb. I was like, as long as you don't like, don't stop. I was like, you should probably be good. So as long as we just like, don't stop on the run, they won't attack us. Dude, I went outside for like 2 minutes and I swear to, it was like the worst experience of my life. I felt like I had like a bed of bees on me. It was like mosquitoes that were just like covered on me. Horrible. See, horrible. Yeah.
That's where Flagstaff sounds a little easier.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I always think about this. Like, imagine when people were first settling Florida. Like, who decided that was a good idea? They're like, yeah, we're just going to stay here and try to make this a place. I mean,
it was Spaniards.
I know, but just deal. Who would I'd just be like, no, I'm just going to die here.
Yeah, but right, you got to figure.
Like, I'm not dealing with this for another 50 years.
They've been on a boat wearing metal hats. Yeah.
Dude, that's so funny that you said that. I actually had like the same discussion with somebody in Antarctica as well. I was like, dude, can you imagine finding this place? I was like, I don't want to be that guy. I was like, I want to be the guy that like, discovers Hawaii, you know? Like,
yeah. That's the way to go, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I even think sometimes, like you think about even north, now you're up in New York. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where our major things started as far as, you know, our English relatives and stuff like that. Settlers. But it's not a great place to be. I mean, now with air conditioning and the high rises in Central Park, it's okay.
Yeah.
But, you know.
In the winter, not so great.
But then you had to come down here. It's probably all thick bush and mosquitoes.
Dude, hands down, man. Yeah. Without a doubt. So, yeah. I feel like you got to pick your battles. You know?
Yeah. Speaking of battles, what's your next adventure?
Dude, the next one is actually coming up this Sunday. I'm doing this race called the Wings for Life World Run, and it's in partnership with Red Bull. It's like one of their big pushes as an organization, which is like really cool. So all the funds that go towards the race, it's about $23 to sign up. All goes back to spinal cord injury research, which is sick.
Uh-huh. Yeah, explain the race because it's a little bit different than a standard just mileage race, isn't it?
Yeah, man. So I actually learned about this race when I learned about it, like in like 2015, I think. And I just thought it was like one of the coolest concepts that I heard at the time. They're starting to introduce some of the outlets again, where like in-person races with the actual like event vehicle. But basically, it's all through an app right now. There'll be some like live areas that you can go to. There's one in New York City on May 7th, this Sunday, that you can come out and rock out with us if you're in the city. But basically, the event concept is you race a car. So the event vehicle starts about like an hour or so, like after you all start, and then slowly speeds up and speeds up and speeds up. And then as soon as you get passed by the vehicle, that's when you get knocked out. Right? That's the end of your race. So it's basically the furthest person that can last wins the event.
What is so far the longest distance someone's gone?
I think the longest someone's gone is right under 50 miles. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's pretty solid, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a goal for it?
I'm actually kind of just like, dude, we actually have 950 or so people signed up for the New York event this Sunday. So I'm just kind of like going out and leading that. And I'll probably give it like a good go and run with the front group. So hopefully just like knock out 30 miles or so from it and have like a solid time. But I did it a couple years back and I did this really like fun route that I planned out. It was from the Bronx in Van Cortlandt Park, which is like a world-class like cross-country spot. And I ran from there through the city down towards the coast to like the Rockaways and then down towards the coast towards Long Island. And I made it like right over like 40 miles. Wow. it was great, man. It was a blast. It's a cool concept.
Now, this podcast is probably coming out after you've run it. But if people want to go back and see maybe some of your results and your stuff, you're going to be doing all this on Instagram, right?
100%, man. Yeah. So everything on, it'll be on like, I think like the Red Bull channels and then on my Instagram too, which is just David Kilgore. Yeah. So yeah, check it out. See how everyone did. But it'll be a lot of stoke, lots of people, lots of fun, lots of energy.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad.
So as a Red Bull athlete, what other Red Bull sports, like what's your favorite Red Bull sport other than obviously running?
I'll start. I like the one where they do the planes off the ramp.
What's it called? Like the flutog or something like that?
Yeah, I like that one. And the flying suits. Do you have a flying suit?
Dude, I need one, man. That'd be epic. That'd be so cool.
Would you try that?
Dude, I would probably try it. I mean, I think I would want to be attached to somebody if you could at the beginning, at least. I don't know that
you can be. I think you have to go solo on those things.
I mean, I've done a few, like skydiving situations a handful of times. But yeah, I wouldn't currently feel comfortable doing that because I think I'd probably kill myself.
I mean, I think I'd try the wingsuit. But not near, like those dudes who do it near the cliffs.
Oh, like the base like jumpers.
10 feet, yeah, yeah 20 feet off of the side of the mountain going 300 miles per hour in a wingsuit. So I would try it like in open space, but I don't know.
I don't even ski or anything, but the skiing ones with the parachute where they're flying over buildings and going over mountains. And
like the base jumper and jump off on skis?
Yeah, but then they'll ski for a little bit, then lift off like 200 feet off the ground. What is this? How do you practice this?
Yeah, it's so amazing. Unreal. I know, yeah. Yeah, can you imagine like, I don't even know, like your day to day, like going to practice that? It's like, what are you doing, you know? Like,
talk about free time.
Yeah.
it looks like a video, like an N64. What was that N64 game with the jet skis and stuff like that? I don't know. It's
extreme sports.
Yeah, it's like. Yeah, yeah.
But David never told us what his favorite. Red Bull sport is.
Honestly, like it's been cool. Just like I feel like experience. I've got to meet a lot of the other athletes, and it's been kind of like fun, like diving in. But I feel like a lot of the F1 stuff has been pretty rad. Oh, yeah, and rad. Especially they shut down some of the streets in New York City and just like ripped a car. Through the streets of New York late last year, so that was pretty sick. But yeah, probably skateboarding and some of the snow sports too, like snowboarding and stuff like that. But I've gotten to meet a handful of those guys, and I feel like I build off of people's energy a lot, so I just like feeling their stoke about this sport just like really amped me up.
Yeah,
that's rad. Do you watch the Formula One Netflix show? Have you seen that?
Dude, I haven't. What's it called?
Formula One, I think.
I think that's what it's called.
Pretty straightforward.
But it's pretty rad because they follow all the drivers and the teams. So you get to see the Red Bull team and they walk you through it. But it's pretty rad.
So sick. That's really cool, dude. Yeah, and also fencing. We have a fencer that's in the city as well. That's been doing some cool stuff.
Oh, touché. Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, yes, sir. How is that like an extreme sport in a way?
Have you been hit with a foil?
What's the extreme version of fencing, or is it just fencing?
I think fencing is pretty extreme.
Yeah, I think just fencing. Yeah, in general, pretty extreme.
Like
yeah.
It's cardio, it's strategy.
Yeah, but I don't think you should wear protection though if you want to make it actually extreme.
That I agree with you on that.
Yeah,
like combat running. I think that like it next time. I don't know. Maybe you can bring it up to Red Bull. What if there was people trying to tackle you while you ran?
That's actually an interesting idea.
And we could see, instead of a car chasing you, it's like a mob. And we see how far you can get.
Dude, I think it could be cool depending on the situation. Because I just imagine like bombing down a mountain and someone just like tackling just you.
Hiding behind a rock.
Yeah. Could you imagine? Oh my God.
If you did have tackle.
I'll tell you what. I'd watch that.
If you did have tackle running though, that would be an interesting combination because you have strength, which is sometimes limiting.
Right. But we're running New York City this year. We got a guy on our team that's running with us who is a former NFL player. He's 6'4", 300 pounds. Yeah. Like my advantage is I could probably outrun him speed wise.
Like, but if he endurance wise,
but if he, yeah, but if he gets you,
oh yeah.
Like, you know,
you're gonna get got for sure. Yeah.
Throw it out there in the next meeting. See if they go for it.
Yeah.
Robbie and I will be test subjects.
It's a free.
Yeah, for sure. Dude. Yeah. That'd be hilarious.
So tell us more about On and how that's going. How long have you been with them, by the way?
Man, it's been a minute now. So almost 5 years, yeah.
Whoa.
So 5 years of September, wow. Yeah.
And so are you the global, what's your position with On or your partnership with them?
Yeah, I have kind of a pretty unique role, and I guess some companies are starting to like move more towards this with some people every now and then now, which is cool. But I started off with them more as like both an athlete and as like a career professional. Mm-hmm. But I started off with them as like a sales sales and tech rep. And then kind of like have moved up in my professional career and then mm-hmm. have still been an athlete for them. But my current role is I'm our global head for our sports marketing for our like outdoor athletes. So all of our trail and athletes, which is cool.
That's
which
awesome.
Plays super hand in hand with everything I do.
Yeah. Are the trail shoes, so we just pretty much did a little program in New York about the Cloud Surfer with the Phase Tech or Tech Phase.
Cloud Tech Phase.
Stuff. And we got rid of the Speedboard, which was something that always was like, kind of like, hey, that'd be great if they got rid of that, and you guys did. Are they bringing that to the trail? Like, is there going to be, or is a Speedboard serve a purpose on the trail shoes versus the street or the road shoes?
Dude, yeah. So I think for the trail, I think there'll be some models that probably that don't have it in the future as well, like on the trail. But it usually does serve a purpose, I feel like, in more of like the performance aspect, just kind of like, it's almost like the plated like super shoes. Mm-hmm. Like now it's just not as like sharp of a plate. So it gives you, I feel like, a little bit like extra like pizzazz in each step as you're like going along. But that's kind of like usually what it's meant for, just to give you a little bit more of like explosive feeling when you like step down, put an energy into the ground, it kind of like springs you back up.
And I would assume on the trails, it helps a little bit like a rock plate.
Yeah,
dude, and it, exactly, and it's perfect for that as well. So none of our shoes technically have rock plates because also like the Speedboard kind of like acts as that.
So so I've run in several different on trail shoes. Wasn't a huge fan of most of them until the Cloud Vista last year, which I really like that shoe a lot. Or do you think, mainly because I think a lot of the on trail shoes in the past, especially like 3 or 4 years ago, are pretty heavy, like the Cloud Ace, Cloud Ultra even. So the Cloud Vista was really nice because it's super lightweight, kind of just nimble on the trails. Is that one of your go-to shoes for when you're out racing?
Yeah, man. The Vista is probably one of my favorites. The Vista is probably like my top tier favorite out of all the trail shoes. I think it's also like the favorite of all of the team.
Yeah.
And I would say a close second is either probably the Peak. The new Peak is quite nice. I don't know if you guys have tried that out yet.
No, not yet.
It's pretty slick, man. It's nice, but it's a little bit sharper. It's a little bit more aggressive, like lighter weight. So if you like that feel for some of the longer stuff, then cool. But it's usually for like some of the probably like 50K under type of races. And then there's the Cloud Ultra too. And that's a pretty nice shoe as well. But depending on like the, I would say like the shape of your foot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's like more of a wider, like has more room in it, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit more room, but it cinches down pretty nice. I would just say like, yeah, it's kind of like the back of the heel counter too. It's like has like a different shape a little bit. So kind of depending how like your heel sits.
For the Seven Continents, did you run in the Cloud Boom Echo 2 or what were you using for that?
Yeah, man, I used the Cloud Boom Echo 3 actually.
Three, I'm sorry, yeah.
Right. Yes, sir. For the majority of it. And then I also, for the Australia one, that's the only one I switched it up in. I ran in the Cyclone. Have you guys seen that?
I think I've seen like leaks of it. Is it the one that has kind of like the plate looks lower in the shoe and kind of like less, the openings are pretty squinty?
Yeah, and it's the fully like recyclable like shoe.
The Cyclone recycles shoe.
Yeah.
Wait, you ran a marathon in that one?
Yeah,
that's pretty
I ran
minimal.
In Australia. Yeah.
So did you have to do that? Or was that part of
it? No, it actually wasn't.
Really?
Yeah, I actually like the shoe quite a lot. It's really great.
I think I saw was that the New York City Marathon last year? They had a sample of it there.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I held 100%. It not like thinking that you ran a marathon. That's a pretty minimal shoe. That like goes back like to the racing flats almost sort of.
Throwing it back, man. Yeah, dude, I actually kind of like, I love the more minimal feel to a lot of stuff. So I feel like I train in a bit more of some of the lighter shoes that we have. But yeah, I tried it out for that. And kind of like what you were saying, I think fantastic shoe. But as I got like further on, and to each their own, but as I got further on, it just felt like a little bit flatter compared to like the Cloud Boom Echo 3. So I was like, oh, I'm going to switch it back to finish it.
I really feel like that's there's two big differences, and I'm surprised because you're in the middle of a multi-day marathon fest that you would go with something a little minimal that I feel like the cushioning really does help with the recovery. But the other thing is those late miles that bounce off the toe feeling that you get from the super shoes today. And now I haven't tried the Cloud Boom Echo 3, but there is, like, for most of them under the fat pad, there's like a little bit of bounce off the toes there. And I'm going to guess the Cyclone at mile 16 through 26 probably didn't feel as much of that as you would in the higher stack shoe.
Dude, yeah, spot on. Exactly. I mean, that's kind of what I felt. I mean, it's just like kind of like the name of the game. It's technically not a super shoe and doesn't have that padding. So I was like, yeah, you know what? Like, I think I'm gonna shift back to the other ones.
Did you feel it the next day?
Actually, not too much the next day, but I definitely felt it. That I feel like the last like handful of miles, and I was like, man, yeah, this is not giving me as much of a return, and I could feel it in my feel it in my feet.
Question: if you were within a minute of Wardian's, a minute or so of Wardian's average, there, what are you still going for the Cyclone on that last day?
Dude, I might not have.
That's good. That's exactly what your answer should be, because, you know, there's a reason that the Cloud Boom Echo 3 is made, you know, to beat out everyone else.
We say that, but my marathon PR is still in, like, the Kimbara, and then my second fastest time was in the Zante, which the Zante and the Kimbara probably are pretty equivalent to the Cyclone.
Yeah.
But, it's good proof of concept, though. So that shoe that he's talking about is the one that gets recycled. So Basically, you're almost renting the shoe.
Yeah, exactly, man. So it's technically the shoe that's like slogan of the shoe that you can never own. And it's on a subscription plan. So you run in the shoe, it gets broken down, beaten up. You have the packaging and you send it back to On. And they replace it with a fresh pair. It's a pretty cool concept. And hopefully it's, you know, like setting some of the tone of like, what brands can do and like the sustainable aspect of a footwear, you know?
Yeah.
Does it actually get recycled into another running shoe, or does it get repurposed for a different product at that point?
From what I know, it's getting like repurposed into another running shoe. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice. So you got the race this coming up this weekend, already passed, and this podcast comes out. What kind of like ultra events? Yeah,
how do you top?
Do you have? Yeah. Like, so obviously as a Red Bull athlete, you do some weird stuff. So the Seven Continents was one of them. What else you got in your pocket that you're looking forward to?
Dude, I actually just came back from one too, but it did not go as planned.
Oh, really?
I went out to try to attempt the Marathon de Sable.
This year was horrible though. Like I know that I remember reading your post about it, but like you guys got there and the winds and the sand was kicking up. Like it wasn't a good year for it, was it?
No, man. Yeah, it was rowdy. It was a really cool and unique experience. Definitely like one of a kind. But yeah, it was rugged, man. It was rugged. Go ahead.
You had said your heart just wasn't in it when you got out there. Is that correct?
Kind of, man. Like I got out there and I honestly just, I feel like I felt defeated after like a few days, with all of it. There was just like a few aspects of it that I didn't fully like know. Of course I knew that I had to pack all my own gear, and I thought that I was even packing kind of light. And when I got out there, some of the other like elites basically were carrying like half the amount of weight that I was carrying. And I was like, dang. So I feel like even like from the start, I was like trying to like keep up, and it was just like more awkward. I feel like carrying that amount of weight on the body and then combating that heat and then everything else. And also like you like rationed water out there as well, which I didn't fully realize. So you get like a certain set amount of water each day, and you don't get almost like as much water as you want type of situation. So it was definitely like a big learning curve. And then I also just was like getting like kind of sick towards the end of the second day, where I was just like throwing up quite a bit, like frequently, and also not having a lot of water. I was like, man.
So for people who don't know, it's a stage race across the Sahara Desert, right? And you are self-supported. So everything that you have is in your pack. So meals, all that stuff. So you run to your next tent and there are tents set up, so it's not like you have to carry your tent, but pretty much all your gear for the day, everything you'll need to cross the desert is on your back.
Yeah, 1,000%, man. So yeah, all they supply you is, how many, so it's, 3, 6, 11. So they provide you with, I think, 12 liters of water per day. And that's including like being like during the run. And then, yeah.
And then you just pour like, that all out and put Red Bull in vodka. And
bathing.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what do you need this for? You know?
It's so heavy.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Sorry.
I was like, I haven't drinking water in years. Like, what are these people doing?
These idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like the plot line of Super Mario Brothers 2, where you're just going across a desert and there's a hot sun chasing you the whole time, trying to kill you.
Yeah.
But that's whenever someone describes Marathon to Sob, that's what I imagine.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, it was quite a remarkable experience. So I mean, even like the sandstorms and everything, and sleeping out of the tents and all the above.
And I heard one of the weird things, they kind of keep nationalities separated.
Yeah.
Because the smell of the BO and the food,
no way, really?
Can upset like the, like if you're not used to it,
whoa,
like the food and the BO and stuff can freak you out.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize that was why, but yeah, they do like do that. So like even, you're all in a tent with the same nationality, and then you're surrounded by tents with like a similar nationality. And then like, as you move on, it like is broken up into different segments. Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
Do you start at different stages too? Or is it the same? Everyone start at the same time.
So yeah, everyone starts at the same time each day. Okay. Well, there's one stage that everyone starts at a different time. It's the fourth day, the long stage. Okay. And so the top 50 people start, I think, 2 hours later than the others. Yeah.
Yeah. So was that the hottest place you ran then during that run?
Dude, hands down. It was like, yeah, I honestly felt like it was Antarctica, but with heat. Like, just like the same Antarctica type of vibe. Like, I couldn't believe that, yeah, there's people that like live out there. And I was like, wow. Like, I mean, even like way out in the desert, there's like these different type of like, one, there's like, I think like nomadic groups that'll travel around. But then there's also people, I think, that just like live in like the caves and stuff out there and like trade stuff with each other to like get by. And I'm like, dude, how are you surviving out here? This is like absurd, you know? It's pretty wild.
Whoa.
It's like Jurassic Park. Life will find a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, but it is, it's kind of also when you're running out there, it's sort of bleak, isn't it? Like you could run for an hour and the scenery doesn't change too much.
Yeah, pretty much, man. I mean, there's definitely like really like iconic spots, and I mean, it's all like pretty beautiful. But yeah, it's, I feel like the part of the ambiance of the desert too, like you'll like see like a stretch, you're like, oh, this could probably be like a couple miles, and it's like 10, you know? You're like, wow. Nice. Like, that's just like, you're like standing still somehow, you know? It's like, wow. But yeah, the massive sand dunes and even the mountains and the terrain were just like pretty incredible.
So how, in that situation, you decided to abort.
Yeah.
And so do you just stay with the camp at that point and just have to ride it out for the next few days? Like, how does that work? I'm guessing they don't just take a Jeep and take you back to the airport.
They basically do, man. They take these like, they're kind of like, yeah, they're kind of beat down vans that you like take back through the desert for about like 7 hours to get back. And then you can either stay like in town or you can like take a different flight out. So it's kind of like a mix, or like if people like are waiting for other partners that are out there still, or vice versa. But yeah, man, you almost feel like you like committed treason though. I'm not going to lie, when you drop, because all of the staff is like 300 meters away from all of the tents, and you know, we're like out there like rationing water, we're like eating foods out of like little baggies, and they're like eating like breakfast, and like they're like taking baths and like all this water. So then afterwards, after you like finish like or like drop or whatever, they're like, come inside, come breakfast with us. And so now you're sitting on the other side and you like see everybody that you just left. You're like, I feel like I just did something wrong, you know?
That's rough.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And you're like, cheer, you have a beer in your hand, and you're like cheering them on. You got this, guys. Go for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, keep getting it. Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy, guys. I'm going to have this Red Bull and
yeah.
hang out on this dirt bike. So you mentioned earlier that Molly. And does she do these trips with you? Do you guys get to share the adventures, or is she like at a desk job and you're out having fun? And
yeah, it's kind of a mixture, man. She usually gets to spend, I would say, probably about like 50% of the time she'll get to cruise along to a lot of these adventures. Like, for example, this year she got to meet me at what's it called, at the finish line for the World Marathon Challenge, which is cool. And then, but this year is definitely a little bit more like odd for us too, because we're getting married this year, which is sick.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
Which is fun. Thanks, man. So, you know, we're just kind of like trying to like hold down a little bit as much as we can, save up a little bit more and all the above, you know, so.
I'm guessing she has to run. She has to be a runner, right?
Dude, yeah, she is. She is a runner. She doesn't dabble in the ultra stuff, but yeah, loves running quite a bit as well, which is great.
Yeah, it helps to have someone who understands the madness.
Yeah, for sure, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I could imagine, like, they'd be like, what are you doing, dude? Like, why? Like, what is going on here?
Right. Oh, yeah. Man. So, do you, for the future in your career, do you have any specific goals? Or are you thinking, like, what are your goals, I guess, going forward?
Yeah, man. I mean, I feel like I kind of want to keep doing some of the things that I'm doing. I feel like I've kind of enjoyed... I feel like splitting my time more and more. I feel like doing more of like this like adventure type of racing and mm-hmm. some of the more traditional type of like trail and ultra racing. And so I feel like that trajectory has been like great for me. But I feel like the main thing that I'm like looking forward to in the future is, I think, you know, collaborating more with different communities and also doing a little bit more like storytelling around running and trying to like amplify the sport overall. And that's like what's really exciting me. I feel like I really started doing that more and more during like 2020 and 2021, when kind of like everything started getting shut down. Mm-hmm. Finding like, I feel like different marketing ideas to really like get people into the sport and really excited about running. So I think it's kind of like a balance. I'm more leaning towards, I feel like, that direction. That's like something that I'm really excited about, passionate about. I feel like creating these different like marketing, like big moments mm-hmm. that I'm also like excited about physically, but also continuing on to compete and try to perform the best that I can.
Yeah. I felt like a lot of the stuff that you do, you remind me a lot of Mike Wardian in that way, where he likes to dream up these big, interesting goals. I think a lot of it is kind of like, I think in your case, it's more of like, I think you love the business side of it as well. So it's kind of combining those two passions, where I think he just likes dreaming up huge things and inspiring others to do those, whether it's running across the U.S. Or
Spider-Man.
Just, yeah, yeah. Or running as Elvis. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love that there are people like that, you know, maybe step outside the conventional bounds of running and try to do something that'll inspire others.
Yeah, but
it might not fit into like the, let's just do road marathons.
It does
time.
Seem weird though that you live in New York, in the city, the Bronx,
yeah,
and you love trail running, because it doesn't seem like that's exactly the mecca for trail running. I'm guessing you're traveling all the time.
Yeah, man, traveling quite a bit, but also like, I mean, I feel like New York City is almost like, I feel like it's like so congested at times. It's almost like, I feel like urban trail running to a certain extent. I feel like it's like so dynamic anywhere that you run in the city that it's like really like stimulating as well. But also it's kind of nice. I like having, I guess, like a mix of the worlds too. Cause I feel like I've learned so much like being like within New York City. And also like, again, I feel like going back into like the excitement and like trying to propel other people like into the sport. It's like really cool. I feel like in both avenues. Cause when I go to, I feel like trail races, I like tell people like this exciting stuff that's like going on in like New York City, like with running, or like how we like are doing this like new type of like trail race, like in the city, or we're doing this, or we're trying to figure out a way to like excite people about that. And then being back in the city and telling people about these like epic adventures, like in the mountains, how they should like explore like their local trails. So I feel like it's like a really like cool like piece of excitement in both worlds that I'm able to like share with everybody. And that's what I feel like really excites me about it. And also I just like love the energy and I feel like the stimulation of the area, like just like really like pumps me up on a daily basis.
What do you think? Will we see you in Brooklyn in 2 weeks?
Dude, yeah, 100%, man. I'll be there. I'll have my chest painted. Robbie, Thomas, like, let's go.
There you go.
Getting it.
I love it.
Awesome.
Be That's waiting awesome. In Coney Island for you with a couple of dogs, you know?
That's nice. I tell you what, I am looking forward to. I know you said beer wasn't your favorite. I'm not really a beer guy myself, but the idea of a Coney dog and a beer at the finish, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Dude, best way to top it off, hands down. Dude, and you can meet my guy, Rough Rider.
For those of you who can't see right now, this looks like some sort of pug sheep.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. What is that? He's a little Shih Tzu. He's like a really tiny Shih Tzu. He's fully grown. He's like 7.5 pounds. Crushes the game. Same's Rough
Rider.
Does he
run with you?
Dude, he does every now and then.
That's right. Awesome.
Yeah. So he's a, what was his, a DMX fan?
Yeah, 100%.
All right. 100%. All right, man. This was a lot of fun. It was great to learn about what you're up to. How can people get involved with some of these races and some of these charities that you're working with, other than following you and getting that information there? What are some ways that people can interact?
Yeah, man. I mean, I would say the main way would be, I would say through social media. I would say like Instagram's, I feel like the biggest platform for myself and for some of these other organizations that I'm like working with. And then of course, just like following along, I would say with On, Red Bull, Pit Viper, they're always like posting stuff. And I feel like
forgot about Pit Viper.
That's right.
Posting avenues of what their athletes are doing. So hands down.
So they sent me a pair of Pit Vipers. Yeah. And my son stole them from me, and he got asked at school, "Are those real Pit Vipers?"
Dude, like, that's how you know. Cool.
You did it. Rock them. You were wearing them like, all last
the
summer,
whole,
right?
When we went to Worlds, I wore them the entire time at Worlds.
Dude,
they're so fun, man. I mean, I think I started talking with them in 2017, and it was probably one of the best relationships I've ever had. Because it was just like so good. It was like classic. I was at the race Hood to Coast, and one of my buddies was a rep for New Balance at the time. And I guess they bought a bunch of like the Pit Viper glasses for an event, and not a lot of people came to the event. He's like, so he's telling me and my other buddy, he's like, yo, like we were like crashing at his house. He's like, hey, he's like, I had this event and nobody really came. And he's like, I have like hundreds of these like random glasses. He's like, do you guys want some? And we're like, yeah, dude. So we like rocking these Pit Viper glasses and we start tagging them because it's like the first time we heard of them then. And they start just like talking a bunch of shit back to me and my friend.
Nice.
So for like the entirety of like the Hood to Coast trip, we're both just like talking like shit to each other. And I'm like, dude, I love these guys. This is like the best thing ever.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it's so good.
That's rad.
They're cool.
Really fun.
All right. Thanks for coming on. And we will spread the news.
Yeah, hopefully talk to you again soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next time there's a big adventure. Yeah. You're always welcome to come back.
Appreciate it. No, thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure.
All right, Robbie, that was a lot of fun.
Yep, the Swamp Man himself came on.
Like flies.
I try not to talk about Florida too much, even though I really want to.
I really feel like someday you're going to end up in Florida.
I could see that happening.
And I don't know that you could either be in like a mansion or you could be in a trailer. I don't know which way it'll go.
I could go with either one.
Or it could be like you buy 4 trailers, put them together and create a mansion out of trailers.
Yeah. Just knock down all those walls. Have a nice
little compound.
Yeah. The thing with Florida, though, is that I do actually love the beach, but the in-between part, just flatness.
It's not for you.
Kind of need some mountains in my life, too.
That's true. Well,
if I lived in northern Florida, then you could go, it's not super far to like the Georgia mountains.
Or Nashville or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's why I like Baltimore, is because we're close to all those things.
I do like Baltimore. It gets such a bad rap. But anyway, thank you for listening. David, thank you for coming on. That was a lot of fun. Congrats on all your adventures. Mm-hmm. I know that we're a little behind. You talked about the Red Bull Challenge, where the wing run, was it? How do you say it?
I don't know, but
I cut that part out. Anyway, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate your time.